Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
How many of you have a very good memory? Or maybe I should ask, how many of you have a memory like mine? It's very good, but short. How many of you have a tendency of forgetting your stuff all over? Right? It's kind of funny because I see some faces looking at their partner, their husband and their wife. Right? How many of you would not survive without an agenda, without your phone, or you would not be able to survive without any alerts on your phones? Yeah? Yeah, eh? Like, I think we all struggle with that. The memory is a faculty that forgets, right? And there's a German psychologist named Hermann Ebbinghaus that studied memory in the 1800s and discovered something called the forgetting curve. In that forgetting curve, it says he studied and he came to the conclusion that we recall 100% immediately. Hopefully that's the case, right? Within 20 minutes, approximately 40% of the information is forgotten. That's very discouraging to say this as I'm speaking to you this morning. Within 1 hour, approximately 50 to 60% of the information is forgotten. Crazy, right? Within 1 day, 24 hours, 70% is gone. Ugh. A month, approximately 80% or more is less. And so, you know, we got to keep our minds sharp, right? I don't know if you play Sudoku or you like puzzles and all that. I don't. Maybe I should work on that, right? Like my father-in-law, he plays violin. He's 92. He practices every day, and he's so sharp. So maybe I should take violin. Poor wife. Imagine that, right? That's funny. But there's things that we're not called to forget. There's things that what I'd like to focus on this morning is there's things that we got to bring to our remembrance. You want to put the picture here? If you can. This is me and Micheline 38 years ago. Yeah. Like we started in ministry, and now we were going for a funny honeymoon. I could entertain you on what happened. There's a guy, I'll take a little rabbit trail, I don't have a lot of time, but he granted us a free cabin, and there was a reason why it was free. That's another story for another time. But, you know, we went for 2 weeks, a quick honeymoon, and then we were in ministry. And I look back, and it's been an amazing journey. And without being emotional, God has been so faithful. Faithful to us, faithful on the journey. And sometimes it's good to look at our photo album and remember how God is good, right? You can't remove it, thank you. And when we look in the Bible, there's lots of references on to remember. Because we have a tendency to forget, right? And we forget for many reasons. One of the reason is because we're so busy. And sometimes we go through hardship and we face different challenges. We get filled with anxiety and so on, and we might forget. Sometimes we're on overload of information and we forget. Like our brain tries to remember what really, really matters and put other stuff in drawers. And sometimes by looking at photos, you see, oh yeah, by the way, I forgot about this, I forgot about that. And it's kind of funny how the kids, they bring memories that I don't remember, right? But when it comes to remembering the Lord, it's a big deal. And we see this in the Bible, like I said, so many references on to remember. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, as Joshua is entering the promised land, he's going to face Jericho and he's going to face a lot of enemies. And God says, remember. Remember the words of my servant Moses. Remember to get attached to my word. And he says, if you have that, If you remember, you'll have success. He says to memorize, to verbalize, to focus on the Word of God so that when you go through a hard time, you'll remember what the Lord has done. So when we look at our journey, we see God's fingerprints everywhere. And sometimes what happens is that we face new challenges and we forget how faithful He was. So it's important to remember. I look at the first Easter, the first Passover in Exodus, where God said to the people, as they were leaving, He was saying, remember this, consecrate this day. And the Jews still celebrate Passover. And we do too, right? We think about Jesus at the Last Supper when He broke bread and gave the cup. What did He say? Do this in remembrance of Him. And so we have a tendency to forget. And it's very important for us to remember. Like, we can have tricks to have a short memory, but there's things that we have voluntarily have to bring before our eyes. Like, when it comes to having our vows in marriage, when it comes to the words that we spoke or the commitment that we've shared and the things that we're supposed to do that we verbalize to people that we love, we got to remember that, right? And one of the reason why we fall in traps and we get caught in sin and so on is that we forget. We get caught by the moment. We get caught by the emotion. We get caught by the hurts. We get caught by our passions and the desires of the flesh. And we forget. So it's very important for us to find ourselves in God's Word. It's very important for us to find ourselves in God's in prayer and also having community so that we might remember, because we live in a battle and we are at war, and I don't think we can do it if we forget. We got to remind ourselves. And there's so many mentions of that from Psalm 106. They soon forgot what He had done and did not wait for His plan to unfold. They forgot, right? God moved, God was faithful, but we have a tendency to forget. And so what I'd like to talk about this morning is we're not called to forget, and we're called to look at God. And like I said, sometimes it's hard to remember because of overload information and a lot of different stuff. But there's this hope that we find in John chapter 14, verse 26, where we find the role of the Holy Spirit. It's to remind us the word of Jesus. And it says that the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I said to you. That's what Jesus says. And so we want to connect with God. We want to allow God to speak to us, right? And this is fundamental. If you've been attending here for a long time, you've heard this in so many occasions, that it's so important for us to connect with God. That if we don't connect with God, we're doing life alone. And we want to be greased up. We want to be wet. We want to be a people that knows God's presence, that is encountered by God and encounters God, right? And so what I'd like to talk about this morning, as we have this series en route to Easter, one of the teaching that we find in Easter, the meaning of Easter, is how much God loves us. Can you say that to your neighbor? God loves you. Can you say that? It's one of the most important things that we need to absorb in our lives, is to know that God loves us. Like, it's one of the most important things that you're called to remember, is that you are loved by God. And Easter is the proof of it. And there's so many distractions, so many things that happen that can make you focus or throw you off course of this amazing truth that you're loved by God. I really believe that seeing His love, receiving His love, and remembering His love is fundamental. Like, how do you come to faith? Is when you see His love. Would you agree? When you see His love, this is where you say yes to Jesus. This is where you invite Him in your life. This is where you want Him to rescue you. This is why you want Him to lord your life, because you saw Him, you were encountered by Him, and you responded to Him. Actually, what Christianity is all about, it's all about responding to the love of God. That's what Christianity is all about. You respond to this amazing love. And so when it comes to this love of God, when you receive it for your own, when you see it, when you receive it, it changes everything, right? And do you remember the time where you understood that Jesus died on Calvary for you? You remember the time where it rocked your life and you said, I don't really deserve that? Or you were hit by this amazing truth that God so loved the world that he gave his son? It rocked us, right? And it should have. Because it's the most amazing thing under this sun is the love that God has for us. And what we are called to do is we're also called to remember his love. And that is something that I need to do and you need to do too. That it's not something that comes just by accident or it's just there. You need to remind yourself of the love of God. And I believe it's the foundation. And I believe that if we don't have that as our foundation, I think we won't be able to run the race. I believe the love of God sustains us. And it's a foundation for what's next. Like Jesus revealed himself in Matthew 21 as a cornerstone. He gives this parable of this owner of a farm that leaves and gives it to some of the employees to take care of it until he comes back. And he doesn't come back, he sends servants, and those that were working at the farm, they took advantage of the servant, killed them, and wanted to keep the farm for themselves. And then the father said, or the owner said, I'll send my son to listen to my son, right? So the son went and they took his life. And Jesus was talking about himself and he was addressing the Pharisees that you're missing out on the gift that God has for you. And so Jesus says that they have rejected the cornerstone. And the reality, without having a cornerstone, you can't build. Or if you don't have a capstone is when you have an arc, and the middle one, the top one, is chiseled perfectly to hold the arch. Without him, nothing holds. Without him as a cornerstone, then the builder will build the home or whatever is called to be built crooked. So you need to have Jesus as our cornerstone. And Jesus is the expression of the love of God. He is. And if I don't get that, if I don't absorb that, if I don't remember that God loves me, it's going to be very hard for me to navigate through life. I really think it's going to be challenging and will be costly if we forget how much God loves us. You look at the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesus for the Ephesian church. Look what he says, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. And he prays this. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, being rooted, can you say that to your neighbor? Rooted and established. Rooted and established in love. What does that mean? Rooted and established. It's firm. You are firmly established in God's love. You are rooted in him. Like wind comes, the storm comes, you're rooted, right? So that's what he prays. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. You see, again, it's not a lonely walk. It's not an individualistic walk. It's always together, right? And you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. So that's his prayer. I want you to know how much God loves you. It takes a lifetime and probably more than a lifetime to know how much we are loved by him. And he says in verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So when we look at this, we see the Apostle Paul praying that the church would know the love of God. Because we got to be rooted in the fact, in this assurance that God loves us. Like John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish and have eternal life. And look at verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, to redeem. That's the expression of love. Christianity is not primarily about trying harder to love God. It's about being awakened to the love that God has for us. That's the heart of Christianity, to be awakened to the love that God has for us, to be awakened to the love that God. I've got a question for you. Are we awakened to the love that God has for us? Is that love awakening me? Am I awakened? But I was dead, I was lost, I was asleep, and this love has awakened me. And we want to see the love of God awaken us. We want to be awakened by the love of God, because when the love comes and the love is absorbed and the love is known, it awakens us. We're not the same anymore. To be awakened from the dead, it's to be awakened by the love of God. What awakes me to the purpose of God? What awakes me to do what I'm called to do? What awakes me to step in what God has in store? It's His love. His love awakens me. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loves us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And He mentioned it's not our love. It all comes through His love for us. One of my favorite verses we used to sing when I was younger is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father's love, how great is the love of the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are loved by God. And Paul mentions in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, that love is our anchor. And it says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But look what it says in verse 37. It doesn't say no as knowledge, but he says no. In all these things we're more than conqueror through Him who loves us. So the church is being persecuted, and the church will be persecuted. And he's saying, what will anchor you is to know that you are deeply loved by God. If I know that I'm loved by God, I'm valued by Him, if I live my life on this fence, does He love me, does He not love me? Then it's going to be very hard for me to navigate. And so Paul, what he was saying, no. That God loves you. And he says in verse 37, know in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus our Lord. So he's saying, it's your base, church. Talking to the Romans, it's your base. As he said it to the Ephesians, he's saying it to the Roman. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal to know that we're loved by God. And another verse I just want to explain, and I think it's a fantastic verse, and you know it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what awakens us. It's to know how much we're loved. And here it says, but God, and it talks about in spite of our rebellion and our ignorance, God reaches out. It says He demonstrated, meaning that it was more than intention or words. He came down. His own love, it talks about. It's His nature. It's His heart. He's invested in this. His emotion and His will is invested in us. And it says in this, while we were still sinners, it talks about a conditional love. And then it says Christ died for us. And when it comes to Christ died for us, sometimes we get the word anointed one a little wrong. When it comes to the anointed one, the Messiah here or Christus, it talks about the king. This is why the Jews, they had a problem with Jesus, because they were expecting to have a king that would come and rule, but He came as a suffering king. He still entered Jerusalem on a donkey as a king, but here it says the king died for us. The king. referring to the maker of the universe, the one that sets everything in order, came and died for us. It awakes us to him. His love awakes us to him. It really, really does. You know, I need to remember this. Out of his love flows our Christian walk. Out of his love flows our Christian walk. How am I called to walk as a Christian is out of this love. All I need to do, really, when it comes to Christianity, is respond to his love. That's how it should be. How should I live as a Christian? Knowing that I'm loved, and from the flow of his love, I walk my walk. And I walk my walk and respond to his love. Like, out of his love, I can walk in faith. I really can. I really can walk in faith when I walk in love, when I understand his love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. But here you see, there's peace. There's faith because we know that we're loved. So I'm able to move forward, and there's forgiveness of sin, and there's acceptance that I'm a co-heir with Christ. I'm grafted to the tree. I'm part of the family. There's a place at the table for me. And one of the things I've heard in all my years of ministry, a lot of people feel that they're not loved by God. They think they're second-class citizens, or they're not important. And it's such a lie, because when you believe that lie, it causes you to be disconnected. When you believe this lie, it's like you walk on your own, and you believe that God is not interested in you, and it's such a lie. And that's what the devil wants us to believe. But we need to realize that there's faith when we understand that we're loved by God. We know that he loves us, so we can carry on and we can trust, because we know that we're loved. And we see that maturity the older you get, because you're getting older. And so you've got to see this as your cornerstone, right? And in the same verse, it talks in verse 19, we love each other because he first loved us. And out of his love, we can love others. The reality is, when I'm awakened to the love of God, it makes me love other people. Like, we love each other because he loves us first. So how do I love you? How can I love you? Is when I'm awakened to the love that God has for me. How can I not love you when I was loved with such a passion, such a commitment, such a sacrifice? So that love burns in my heart. It should burn in my heart. There's an awakening to that love, right? You look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, you could underline, so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So loved us, you know? I'm awakened to the love of God. I'm awakened to the love that God has for me. And so out of that comes the outflow of forgiveness and love and grace. But when I forget that love, then I walk in the flesh. When I forget this love, I walk in resentment. When I forget this love, I look for judgment. But the moment I see this love, I can't walk in judgment anymore, because I was set free by that love, right? So having this awakening of God's love changes everything. And Easter talks about this awakening of love. Ah, right? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Wow. If we look at ourselves in the mirror, if we would throw everybody's life on the projector, it would not be good. Would you agree? The thing is, we know that we're broken. We know that we struggle. We know that we fall and pick up ourselves. We know the struggles that we face in our mind and our hearts. We're all in the same boat without exception. But when you understand and you have the revelation of God's love for you, it changes everything. When you're awakened to his love, it changes everything. So there's a battle right now that you have. It's to remember that love and see it guide your life, or just live your life according to your desires. So out of this love, we can love others. Thirdly is, out of his love, our love for him goes deeper. You know the story in the Bible in Luke 7, verse 47, about this lady, this sinful lady that went to Simeon or Simon's house, one of the religious leader, and Jesus invites him, and the guy really has questions for Jesus, has no really interest with Jesus because he doesn't anoint his head, doesn't wash his feet, doesn't give waters for his feet and all that. And you got this lady that comes in. She's a sinful lady, and she's at Jesus' feet, and she is watching Jesus' feet with her tears. And people are judging. And Jesus says to her, she loved much because lots was forgiven. And if you are forgiven little, you'll love less. But the reality, sinful lady or Joe Blow that does his life without God is lost. You're lost or you're lost, right? You can be lost in the pure forest, or you can be lost in a small forest, but you're still lost. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're lost, you're lost, right? But the thing is, this lady understood that she was forgiven much, and she loved on Jesus, and she was filled with devotion. She didn't care what people thought. She didn't even look at all the religious leader. She was just caught by the one that loved her. You see, when I am awakened to God's love, it brings a higher devotion. It brings a higher worship, a higher surrender. You care less of what people think. You care less a culture because you're just caught up with the Savior in front of you. And you know where you're from. You know your baggage. And God gives you grace and welcomes you as you surrender your life to him. Amazing story, right? Like we sang Amazing Grace, and I think about John Newton when he wrote that. And we know his background. He was involved in slave trading, and he was encountered by God, and he writes, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." He goes from being a slave trader to a pastor. What happened? Awakened to God's love, changed everything. When you're awakened to the love of God, it changes everything, you know? And I want to see that in my life. And I pray that in our church, in your life, we would be awakened to the love of God, where it changes our destiny. Because we see him. We understand what was done. We see the meaning of the cross. We see the expression of God's love through the Son. We want to see that. Like, I look at the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Look what it says after. "The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Like, he lays his life down for the cause of the kingdom. Why? Why? It's because he understands. He has this awakening. The one who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. Ah! Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. I'm going to follow you. I want to be crucified with Christ. I don't want to live my life anymore because there's no one that loved me like you do, right? And so it awakens us to love him more. Number four, and out of his love flows ministry. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters." Why do you serve? Why do you give yourself for the cause of others? Why? Because someone gave his life for your cause. So we all also ought to give our lives. It's just organic. It's just normal. When you understand this love that Jesus gave up his life for us, we also give our lives back to our brothers and sisters. That's the heart. Out the outflow of his love is our lifestyle, right? And out of his love, number five, we become missionaries. But Christ's love compels me. Compels me. I was met by God. I was lavished with his love. I was awakened by his love. So love compels me. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Look what he says in verse 17. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and raised for them. You see, the heart of all they did was based on the love of God. The love of God compels me to be a missionary, to be an ambassador. I'm caught by his love. I'm awakened by his love. And Easter is such a message of the love of God that is called to awaken us. So my prayer in the next few weeks as we travel, as we journey to Easter, I just invite you to say, God, awaken me to your love. Awaken me to your love. Amen? I would ask you to stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, or you walked away from the faith. And you say, I want to be awakened to the love of Jesus in my life right now. I want Jesus in. You're not here by accident. It's not a fluke that you're here. God planned you to be here for you to say yes to him. If that's you this morning, out of faith, out of response, I want you to raise up your hand and say, hey, I want to come back to the Lord. I want to give him my life. He loves me. I'm getting it this morning, and I want this for my life. I want you to raise up your hand if that's you. Yes, thank you. Someone else, thank you. Someone else, thank you. Someone else, thank you. Someone else, balcony, just want to make sure I don't want to miss you. If that's you, if your heart is beating and you know you got to do it, do it. Don't hold back. Thank you. Lord, we give you our lives. I want to see your love, Lord. And you made everything clear for me to see. So I receive your love. I receive it in my own life, Lord. Father, come and forgive my sin. Come and rescue me. Because you're here, Lord, wanting to rescue me. And I just invite you to pray your prayer of surrender to him. If you've got your hand up. How many of you this morning, you say, man, I want to be awakened to his love in my walk. I want to be awakened to his love. I want to be awakened. I want to see this love be my motivation. I want to be taken by this love. I want to see this love bring me further like never before. Awaken me, Lord, to your love. That's you. I want you to raise your hand. That's a lot of hands. Yes, Lord. We want to be awakened to your love. Yes, Lord, you're so good. You're so faithful. Just pray, Lord, as we travel, as we go through the next few weeks, that you would rock us with your love, and that we would be moved by your love, and that we would be led to go beyond the status quo because of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.